The gospel lesson this morning is taken from the 25th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 25, the first 13 verses, and I'll be reading today from the New International Version. And this is the good news about Jesus. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridegrooms who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Bridesmaids. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was delayed in coming, and they all began to feel drowsy, and they all fell asleep. At midnight, the cry went out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." And then all the bridesmaids woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us. No, you go instead to go and buy oil and get some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. And the bridesmaids who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet. A feast began, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't recognize you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Let us pray. May we hear today, Lord, what you want us to hear, so that we, with courage, can do what you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry if I made you hungry there with the cereal thing. Maybe some of you were rushing today and you didn't get your breakfast. My apologies. A lot of things happen to us quickly. They happen quickly, and we get notified, usually. We don't have to wait a real long time to hear about what's going on. First of all, for many decades, since all of us were kids, we had television and radio to keep us posted. And in the last 20 years or so, we've had things like the internet. And I wonder how this kind of a parable strikes our postmodern ears. For instance, when the bridesmaids are waiting for the bridegroom to arrive, why didn't they just go on Facebook? Well, why didn't they just look at their phones to see if anybody just texts them, "Oh, the bridegroom's almost here, get ready, he's on the way. Oh, he's down at the third light, we just tracked him using Find Our Friends, and we know exactly where he is, so we know when he's going to arrive, and so we could prepare for things just instantly, and fully prepare for things without having all those uncertainties about when is that going to happen, and we don't know, And so the parable also may strike us a little strange in that there are some who were wise and some who were foolish. Now, I know all of us are wise. I mean, I have just no doubt about that. But just imagine with me, what if half of us were wise and half of us weren't? I know pretty much 100% certain that if this side needed some extra oil for your lamps and you went and asked the wise ones over here, remember, they're on the right, just so you know. You ask the wise ones, do you think any of you would turn down your friend? Look at them. They need oil. Look at them. They're looking for oil. Please give them oil. I can't imagine any of you standing and saying, please, if you need oil, the hardware store is right down the road. You can get all the oil you want. And you can just come on back when you get here. Drive safely. Don't be late. And another strange thing, how many of you have oil lamps at home that you use for essential lighting? We've had a couple examples of light here, solar lights, lights that come on automatically, lights that even come on with the touch of a finger. And so oil lamps in this parable seem quite dated, although those of us in Cold Spring, Greater Cape May, should know that this village was started as a whale village. And the whale, the primary thing that the whale had from the whale blubber is to produce oil for lamps. It wasn't for food, it was for to light things. And so we know here, culturally, that this parable, yeah, we could kind of figure out what is meant here. We had some bridesmaids, and some of them were wise and some were foolish. You know, the Greek word that's used here in this story for foolish, you already know is an English word. The Greek, I'll say it, I don't know Greek perfectly, but it goes something like this, moronos, where we get our English word what? Moron. Hey, y'all know that word. And so the morons of the story, you know, that's not stupid. It's not like they're ignorant. It's that they just don't plan ahead. The morons in the story only had enough oil. Again, it's a dated piece here, this parable. But they did not plan ahead because back then, the wedding actually, and I know Cameron and Heather's parents are here, over here, yes, we're having a wedding. Hi, Trudy, Trudy's granddaughter. We're going to have a wedding here in January. That, did you know that back then, the wedding feast lasts an entire week? Oh, I see the eyes roll now. Oh, my gosh, how would we ever do that? But yes, it lasted for a very, very long time. And so when the bridegroom came to a party, there were lots of different parties that the bridegroom went to. They just didn't call the local Congress Hall and book a table for the week. And anybody shows up whenever they want, sort of drop in, say hello to the new couple. No, it was somebody where they would hop from place to place. And so this particular group of bridesmaids were waiting for when the bridegroom's party actually arrived. Who knew when that would be? It could be tomorrow. It could be the next day. It could be the next. And so it was in the story that Jesus is telling. Remember, it's a parable, so it has a point to it, that in this story, half the people were prepared and the other half weren't. And so when the bridegroom finally came, the ones that were running out of oil, they went to the ones that had the oil, the morons go to the wise, and they said, would you mind just loaning us a little bit of oil? And they wisely said, well, if we have enough oil to get us through the night, that as they turn their lamps up, now the party's about to start, we won't have enough for everyone. And the light will go out halfway through the party for everybody. So I'm sorry, but your guys are a bunch of morons. And you better go down and you better go buy some, like, real quick. And then the other part of the story that hits our postmodern ears a little odd is that they do go. I don't think they whined or complained. And they went and they found oil and they came back with their lamps filled with oil. They come to the door, they knock on the door. Hey, the party's inside, we're back with our oil. And the maitre d' of the party comes to them and says, I don't know you. And shoos them away. Who would do that? They were just there maybe an hour before. And now they were going out to go buy oil, which they did. They were diligent. That they were committed to the party. They wanted to have the light on for the party. But they just arrived a little late. Now, sometimes, as you might have heard this story in your life, people may quickly just sort of jump to the conclusion that since this is beginning in Matthew chapter 25, the parable about Jesus's final coming, the second coming, as we call it, for him it was sort of the final coming, because he was already there with the disciples, and he was getting the disciples ready to anticipate his death. Remember, his death was not the end. That there's another part to the story. It's sort of like in those movies, when after the credits roll, there's another minute or so of footage that appears, that kind of fills in some of the blanks from the story. And if you leave too soon during the credits of those movies, you're going to miss that. And so Jesus, he wants the disciples to pay attention. I know I'm here right now. I know you like the miracles I'm doing. I know I'm so glad your ingrown toenail is healed. I'm so glad even the blind see. Dramatic things like the paralyzed walk. I'm so glad that the hungry are fed. But remember, I can't feed the earth. I can't cure everybody's blindness in a second. I'm not sure why that's happening. Sorry, maybe I should back up a little. I'm not sure why all these things, Jesus just wasn't, that's not his mission. His mission wasn't to be the doctor for everybody. He was here to show us a better way. He was here to point to a relationship with him that begins and ends with faith that will transform your life. And so he was showing us by his life that the blind can see. And sometimes they see things that the sighted people miss. And the paralyzed people, yes, they can actually walk. Did you see the latest marathon and some of the people that ran with the apparatuses they had on? Oh, my goodness. But some people are a lot more mobile and quick-witted than the people who have feet to walk. And Jesus says, the hungry among you, I'm not going to feed everybody. That's a universal condition. That's something all of you should take care of each other. People need to eat, but it's the hunger of the soul that matters most. So don't ignore people's physical hunger. Feed people, clothe people, people who are ostracized, people who are set aside, people who are invalids, people who are in prison, people who are neglected. Care for them. Let me show you how. And so Jesus just intercepted people in their life. He was intercepted in his own life. He healed and nurtured and cared for people, men, women, children, the old and the young, people who were dead, people who were almost dead, people who seemed to be fine. Because he said, it's not the well that need the physician, it's only the sick. But they thought they were perfectly fine. He's talking about a different kind of sickness. He's talking about that common human condition that everybody needs their creator in their life. Everybody needs to start their day with a prayer to say, God, I am so glad you gave me, it's looking like an awful day, but I am so glad you were in my life. God, I have so many tough things ahead. Man, did you hear? Let me just tell you what's going on. God already knows that, I think. But whatever it is, our days should start. Our days, it says, pray without ceasing. We need to remember that God is not with us here in this beautiful historic building. But God actually is with you wherever you came from, goes with you as you leave, and is in whatever mode of transportation, walking, bicycle, or car, and however it is you get home. And God is with you when you get there. You see, Jesus came to affirm in the present all of these wonderful things, but it would soon end. Jesus would die. He would be buried. And he'll be raised again to life. And that's why Jesus wanted to give some final instructions. I'm going to come back again. I know you do not get that. I understand. It's like exploding your brain right now. I understand that. But just try to pay attention. Write this down. Later it will make better sense. That I'm going to come back again. When I do, I will set all things right. And there will come a time, in this parable and others, when people who thought they were ready, I just want to give you a little heads up, there's going to be some morons out there. And there's still hope for morons now. But in the main party there, like as the bridegroom shows up, oh, I didn't get that tweet. How could he be here already? What, no one let me, well, I checked the Facebook page. Well, how the heck could this be going on? I see photos from the party. I'm right outside the door. Where's the party? And Jesus recognizes that not all of us are ready. So that's part of what Jesus is pointing to in this parable. Like we'd want to be ready for the bridegroom, we don't want to miss the big party. Jesus says, I know it may not come in your lifetime. It may be a couple lifetimes away. It actually may be a lot of lifetimes away from now. But just be ready. Be ready because when the bridegroom comes, you don't want to miss out on the party. And Jesus doesn't make it complicated. He just says, welcome me into your life, and I'll find a home there. And all of us are in different stages of readiness. All of us are in different stages in our faith. It's not a better stage or a worse stage. It's just developmental, just like growing up is. And some of us are in different places spiritually in our life. And that's why Cold Spring Church is here, to meet people where they are, not to bring people to where we are. Oh my gosh, if everybody was where I was, we'd all be stunted because you wouldn't be going beyond me. There are people in our life, you may not know them exactly, identifiable now, that who are spiritually far more connected than you might imagine. You should find that out. Learn from them. And there are others in your life that spiritually, they're not quite as resourceful, not as connected, not as available to God. They're still running out trying to buy stuff, trying to get ready. And here, Jesus is already in their life. Jesus has already made his presence known, and they're just kind of ignoring it. Ah, not yet. I'm running out of stuff. I gotta go now. They didn't stash the cereal. They're not ready for the party. And so Jesus says, oh my, please hurry up, because you don't know when the end is coming. There's always time, but you don't know when the end is coming. So please get ready. And so this parable hits us, reminder that Jesus is sending them a message that I know you don't quite get it now, but just always remember in the back of your head, because the Boy Scouts got it right. Be prepared. The military got it right. Be prepared. The best businesses got it right. Be prepared. This past week in Texas was a terrible tragedy when 26 people lost their life meeting in a room not unlike this one. In fact, all of their buildings in the photographs look sort of like our setup. You know, the sanctuary maybe sat about 200 or so, and then they had an education building, you know, sort of adjacent, and a parking lot and stuff, and I could just sort of imagine. Awful. You know, there have been many tragedies in our country, and that's why I sent in the pastoral letter this week, just a reminder that we're together with this community in Texas. We stand with those who mourn. We don't know what to do. There's nothing we can do, but we can pray. And we can take a hint about preparedness, not in the sense of preventing the violence. That's a more complicated, more random kind of a thing. It's very hard to plan for random events. But you know, there's been other events, and I work with many congregations. And I remember when Melissa just got back from St. Louis, and when all the tragedies of shootings were happening there, you know, we had Presbyterian churches right in those communities experiencing the trauma of those experiences, the shootings and things. And they weren't able to respond because they had ignored their community for decades. They were right in the middle of the crisis. And they wanted to help. They're not mean. They're not like, no oil for you. No siree. If you didn't prepare, you don't get any. They weren't like that. But because they didn't make connections in the weeks and the months and the years before, when the tragedy struck, the community didn't trust them. They didn't say they were mean. They didn't say, oh, now you show up. I didn't hear any of that. But the pastors that I spoke to, the other presbytery leaders that I spoke to, they were struggling with trying to say, you know what, Presbyterians really care about this in our community. And the community was saying, yeah, thanks. Well, where were you before the tragedy? Well, where were you before when we had the racism, peace and justice committees running? Where were you then? Well, where were you when we wanted the after-school programs in our churches? And you just said you already had your own stuff going on, you couldn't do it right now, but you get back to us. You see, our churches want to help. Our churches do a million things. Our church certainly does a million things. But I wonder if this parable isn't also talking to us about being prepared. Because when this community has a major event, it doesn't have to be a bad one either. It could be some, you know, wonderful discovery. We discover oil at Cold Spring Presbyterian Church Cemetery. Has anybody actually looked into that at all? All right, starting another committee. We're going to check it out. But when these kind of community events happen, the community needs to know that God is present. And if God's people haven't made God real and present to them in the weeks that preceded whatever that was, then you could understand how the community could just feel a little disconnected. And so when Jesus is talking about this parable of the bridegroom coming, let's not let us skip our mind ahead to when Jesus comes back again, which could be tomorrow. But actually, we all may pass away and people will still be waiting. It's possible. I'm not saying that, it's possible, right? So let's not make this parable speak only to a time that may not even affect us directly. Be ready. You heard it from me first. But we don't know when. But here's something I do know. Our communities need us. This community of North Cape May, this lower township, Cape May, Cape May Courthouse and below, you know, the bottom end of the map that no one ever seems to pay attention to. God loves this community. And who better than Cold Spring Church, the ones that have been here the longest, who better than Cold Spring Church to be the ones where people will say, and they were there. They weren't just there for some unexpected hurricane or some unexpected tragedy. They were there every day. They were there in ways, we're not even Presbyterian, and Cold Spring Presbyterian Church was there. Oh, we're Roman Catholic, and I remember Cold Spring Presbyterian Church. They welcomed the Christ Child Society to use a room in our building, which we do. Mostly Roman Catholics. It's not only Roman Catholics, but mostly Roman Catholic folks come over, and they have a wonderful ministry to unwed mothers. And we help them. We offer financial support, but we also give them space to collect and sort their materials that they give out. You see, our community needs to know that God is present. And admittedly, when we're all looking down at our phones and pads and looking at what's changing on Facebook, how's God getting through all that? Well, God gets through all that by getting through you. When you show care, when you show love, when somebody comes to you and says, I need a little oil for my whale oil lamp. Can you have any oil to spare? I need something in my life. My uncle died. I can't afford a funeral. I hear you have a cemetery. Can you help me? Or what about single family homes down here where kids need homework club assistance? Who's helping them? Well, maybe we can't do it, but could we help people do it for them? You see, this is an opportunity, a possibility. It's what we learned when we were Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. It's what we learned in serving in the armed forces. It's what we've learned from parables of Jesus, that there you can't prepare for everything, but you better prepare for something. And so all the resources we share here every Sunday morning are preparing us for what is next. Every dinner is an opportunity to build a relationship, because who knows, in a family's life, there's going to come a time when they're going to need someone to point them to hope. And they're going to say, I haven't been to church in 50 years. And I didn't even like it now that I think about it. But I did go to that dinner that someone invited me to over there at Cold Spring Church. And boy, was that a good dinner. You know what? I just may call them. I may reach out to them. Or some people may say, you know what, I don't have any business having church in my life. I work on Sundays, and we have kids, you never get out. It's fine. Well, they have needs in their life too, and they want to be reminded of God every day too. And so what is it that we can do to help them know that God loves them right where they are, and they don't have to show up for worship on Sundays to discover that? We hope they do. Thank you for coming today. But you see, you're not here for you alone. You're here for the oil you're going to carry with you. You're here to light up the little bit of the world that you touch when you leave. Okay, we do need light in here, okay? I get it. The chandelier is being repaired. We could use a little oil light. But you're here to take the light of Jesus with you and to prepare for that unknown, who knows what happens. It may be in your family. It might be in your life. And you're going to just be that much more prepared because of knowing that God is present with you and God's called you to be a blessing where you are. That's the message of Cold Spring Church. And we need to keep finding ways of connecting with this community out here, because I think there's a lot more people out there that don't have connections that are being nurtured within their spiritual life. I just suspect that there's a lot. Our mission study group that Charlie pointed people towards earlier, we're going to do some research about our community. How connected are we to spiritual things? We're going to find out these things. But I wonder how much you could help us do that. Jesus says, be prepared. Yes, be prepared for his second coming. Be prepared for that. But I wonder if you'll be prepared for the neighbor across the way when they call out for help. Let us pray. There are so many ways that we can respond. We already do. Untold ways. Sometimes it's those quiet ways that hardly anyone ever notices. Those phone calls, those letters, those visits, those gifts and unexpected conversations. And there are other more obvious ways. But what is something that you will do this week that will just add some value, add some oil to another person's life? Could be older, could be younger, could be a spouse, could be a child, could be someone you just hadn't thought of much until now. Let's just pause for a moment and let God know that you want to bear oil for someone else this week. And Lord, we thank you for preparing Cold Spring Church for what's next. We thank you for all of our resources. We thank you for our leaders. We thank you for those regular attenders and members who make this ministry possible. We thank you for the countless numbers of volunteers. We thank you for those who worship on Sundays and those who find other ways of expressing their commitment and love for you during the week, that together, Greater Cape May can receive a blessing because you are in our midst now and always. Amen.